Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Welcome to this special edition of the MW Shares podcast. We're looking at the municipal response to the pandemic, and joining us for our Friday podcast once again is Jody Johnson, Director of Legal Services for Halton Region. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Susan.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay today. I can't believe it's Friday again already. The days and hours have been flying by this past week.
Yep. We were just talking on our team about the same thing, that there does seem to be this sense that, things are moving very, very quickly. So I think that's a sense that people are sharing. You want to start out this morning by kind of giving us your experience in Halton this week. What has been happening on the ground in your municipality?
Well, it's been a busy week in terms of COVID response, but to build on what we were talking about last week, Halton Region Council did have its first meetings held by electronic participation. We had a special meeting on Wednesday morning to consider amendments to the procedural bylaw to allow for electronic participation, which passed, and all members were participating electronically via Zoom. And then shortly after that, on the same morning, they held a regular meeting of council, fully electronically again. And there was presentations by staff over the electronic platform. There was questions and answers, good dialogue and engagement, and all of the councillors fully participated through their electronic means. And I'd say it was a success, and the audio and video files of those meetings are available on our website if anybody wants to have a look.
That's fantastic. So what were some of the obstacles that had to be overcome? What were some of the biggest challenges?
I don't know if I'd call them obstacles, but yes, challenges. Our information technology team, I call them the rock stars of the week. They really worked closely with our clerk's department and with council to make sure the technology was available, was coordinated, was ready to roll. We ran with staff several test sessions to make sure the connections, were working and it flowed the way it should. I think one thing that was really helpful was our clerk wrote out sort of with IT folks some step-by-step directions for members of council to help them help guide them through how to log on, how to use the technology, how to participate, and took a lot of time to answer questions and make sure that they were ready and had everything they need. I think if you do that pre-work, it helps the meeting run smoothly. Certainly wasn't having a meeting, didn't have them all together at once, but sent out step-by-step directions and answered calls and had conversations with people who wanted some clarity if perhaps they weren't used to the technology. And that, again, thinking of those things in advance and putting them into place was something that needed to be done. And I applaud them for the work they did in very short order to make that happen.
Yeah, people really moved swiftly to do what needed to be done. A lot of municipalities had those kinds of meetings this week, and we've heard some real success stories like Halton's as well. And I think, as you said, a real appreciation for the folks in IT that came up with some brilliant solutions to make that all happen. And great that we, have this ability to very quickly share the audio and video, as you said, online as well. So what sort of time frame, in what sort of time frame did Halton have that up online?
I think within hours, certainly, of the end of the meeting, just to make it available. And then we promoted as part of sort of the open and transparency, continue to promote on social media the link where it's available even after the fact if people want to go and watch, making sure that people know it's there and available and to check it out if they're interested.
That's fantastic. So it's just a great illustration of how this is not the end of open local government in any way. It's we're just going to experience it a new way, and I'm sure that's going to evolve as we go along here as well.
I think it will, and I see this morning when I woke up and I saw on social media the chief administrative officer of one of our local conservation authorities had tweeted out to MNRF to Minister Urich, thanks for issuing a minister's direction to enable conservation authorities to amend administrative bylaws to hold meetings electronically. So I have not seen the minister's direction. I see that online from our CA this morning, and I think that's a great step as well. It'll be interesting to see if conservation authorities are now going to take that step and have some of these meetings held electronically over the next little while.
And I suspect they will. Other things happening across the country. We saw just yesterday, British Columbia passed their Emergency Program Act with some significant provisions that impact and help in some ways municipalities as well. Those same provisions around meetings and declaration of emergency at the provincial level, things that we expected to see, but also some other interesting things.
And that is a good point, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about those, but I understand that they're not things that we've seen come out in directives or legislation in Ontario, but we should certainly be keeping an eye on them.
That's right. One of the pieces, of course, is empowering the municipal bylaw officers to enforce business closures and large gatherings as restricted by the BC Public Health Act. So that's an important thing that I don't know that we've seen elsewhere. And also there's a provision in the Act for coordinating the potential use of municipal facilities for self-isolation, testing, medical care, warehousing and distribution. And already there are conversations underway in the city of Vancouver around using the community centers for temporary hospitals and testing facilities. So we're seeing some, you know, in some ways it's kind of reminiscent of wartime measures. I would say it's happening really quickly, and communities are responding with those resources that they have in place.
And that response, Susan, doesn't surprise me. I mean, we see this in non-emergency times, but certainly in emergency times, local governments and communities across Ontario and across the country stepping up to do what is required and what's necessary. And it's, you know, it's nice to see you hear people often talk about, you know, local government being closest, the closest level of government to people. And you really see that in action in times like now. You know, if you've got community centers and facilities and you've got businesses in your community that aren't operating and have space, having those conversations about what might be possible should we need it is probably better to have that thought sooner rather than later. Have the conversations, absolutely. Explore it. It doesn't mean every solution is possible, but thinking about what resources you have in your community on a broader than just your municipal office basis is not a bad idea.
And, you know, as you referenced with the council meetings, this idea of pre-work, having, you know, a plan in place, should you be required to pull some of those resources into action, is prudent for all communities to be thinking about right now, and other, you know, other support organizations in the community as well.
Well, that's it. And it's making those linkages between the municipal government, the municipal organization and community partners in broad areas. I think particularly about social services and services that are based in the community, particularly helping vulnerable people and vulnerable populations. How do we match a need for services and food and getting access to things that are essential for them. How do we match up all of those groups and people that genuinely want to help? How do we make sure we do that in a coordinated and diligent way?
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Jody Johnson. Each and every month, Municipal World unpacks the issues that impact your community and you. From compelling case studies to new legislation to fresh advice about council staff relations, you'll find insightful articles, exciting features from well-respected columnists like George Cuff and Ashley Whedon, and straightforward facts on real and important matters for local governments. Be in the know and a step ahead of the game. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports and memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into our conversation with Jody Johnson. One of the other things that that we've seen is municipal councils putting measures in place now for deferral of taxes and that kind of thing. So we've seen a lot of that this past week, which is a good thing because, you know, we had a conversation earlier with Brian Lambie from Red Brick Communications talking about how, you know, this was going to alleviate a lot of public concern around, you know, financial matters related to taxes. So it was going to remove some of those questions for ratepayers and help them to focus on responding to the emergency. So that's a good thing. But it has left our municipal treasurers seeing red, as one newspaper headline put it. Some concern about municipal finances.
Well, I think treasurers by nature, that's their job. Their job is to manage the financial affairs and financial well-being of the municipality, and having their eye on that is important and a part of their day-to-day job. I have seen a lot of the deferrals, whether they are wholesale deferrals and extensions of tax payment due dates or deferral programs that people can apply to. There's a range of things happening. And I think each municipality may have a different answer based on their own financial situation as a municipality, based on their local area, if they're in a two-tier system, or based on their community economics. And that's something the treasurers in every community well know and should be part of those conversations, should be providing advice to councils, to their CAOs about what that situation is, so that all of that input can be considered when trying to achieve that balance between municipal financial stability and assistance for the community and the well-being of residents. That is a tough call, and it is tough. It's an important one.
One of the things that we see, I mean, in conjunction with this to some degree, but I think in larger part, in the interest of protecting staff and the public, is some reduced service levels. One municipality has closed a pedestrian bridge, for example, in the interest of, you know, reducing contact with surfaces that could be contaminated, that they don't have the ability to keep sanitized. A lot of playgrounds we're seeing have been formally closed. Some municipalities have just given advice, stay out of the playgrounds because there is, the potential for infection there. But some of the municipalities are actually closing the playgrounds. And one municipality I saw is also suspending public waste drop-off at the waste transfer station. So these are some of the things that we're seeing. how will municipalities be looking at making those determinations about what is an essential public service and what we can safely let go of for the time being?
Well, and that's a really good question. And again, it's something I don't think there's one across the board answer that is the same for everybody. I think municipalities in this context do what they always do. Look at the resources, look at the community need. We'll turn to their emergency plans to say, what do we have in place for working in conditions where we've got either resourcing challenges, community challenges. They're going to take advice from their local medical officer of health. They're going to look at, on balance, all of those things. And the answer may be different for each community, but their policy decisions based on the resources available, based on best advice from staff, which municipal staff day in, day out provide their best recommendations to council. In this case, it may be actions taken by a CAO or an emergency control group, or in some cases, heads of council in conversation with council. There's not a one size fits all answer, but I think the point is we keep doing what we do as professionals on a day-to-day basis. The context is a little bit different and the inputs are a bit different.
So one of the other questions that arose after our podcast last week, we had a listener email us asking about municipal liability for keeping people on the job in potentially unsafe workplace and balancing that against the duty to deliver services. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. And off the top, I will say I'm not an employment lawyer. That's not my specialty. And I know you've got people you've been talking to the past week about that. So I'll leave particular safe workplace and occupational health and safety and labor relations questions to that. But I think as a broad answer, at least in Ontario, you think about things like Section 450 of the Municipal Act that provides some relief from negligence proceedings in the exercise of powers and functions, if those are done and those policy decisions are made in good faith. And that's always there in emergency times or not. It really involves things like looking at your emergency plan, looking at your resources, making decisions based on a balance of inputs, what is available to run programs and services safely, what is essential in terms of directing resources towards. The other thing to remember is get advice from, you know, your insurance and risk manager if you have one, get advice from your insurer, get advice from your legal counsel, and look at all of those inputs before making those decisions. But again, it's making decisions in the way we're used to.
And essentially this comes down to due diligence, and that's something that municipalities are very accustomed to working under that directive, you know, as you said, whether it's in emergency times or not. So, but it is a good question, and I'm sure it will be on the minds of a lot of municipalities and a lot of staff as they go through this time. So we really want to celebrate those people who continue to keep the wheels turning in our communities, the people who are working in social services and water treatment and all of the things that that keep the wheels going, and our public health care teams as well.
Yes, absolutely. Our paramedics, our public health, as you say, water, wastewater treatment, solid waste, all of those things that people count on to happen safely and securely on a day-to-day basis.
So it's, you know, times like this that we really have to. I heard somebody describe once, you know, the water coming out of the tap, the drinkable water coming out of the tap as, you know, a special kind of magic. And if we can think about, you know, municipal services that we continue to have right now as a special kind of magic and have some appreciation for that and appreciation for our colleagues that are making all of that happen for us to continue keeping us safe and healthy while we go through this period. We should all be.
I love that, Susan. I'm going to steal that term and take it to our next team meetings to talk about the special kind of municipal magic. that we have.
Yes.
I think the other the other unsung hero in all of this are municipal communications teams and professionals, because it's internal communications. It's all of the social media. It's the constant update to websites. Our communications partners and colleagues also have a special kind of magic happening right now.
Yeah. And some of it's the magic we can see coming out of our taps. Some of it is magic we don't see because they're doing the work that's required behind the scenes. So it really is a time when we're seeing incredible leadership and courage from our municipal teams. So if there's something we should all be thinking about this weekend, it's that, I think. What do you see in the week ahead? Any forecasts for what perhaps we're going to see more of in Canada next week?
Hard to predict, at least from the chair I sit in. I certainly can't speak to what we'll see in terms of public health impacts, but what I see from my end is a further examination of enforcement activities and a discussion of the enforcement of provincial orders, federal orders, dealing with communications around any evolving situations, any evolving directives and recommendations coming from the various provincial medical officers of health, different pieces of legislation and ministers' orders that we may see. It may be a lot of interpretation and again, quick reaction, making decisions on pivoting in terms of services, in terms of activities and communication. So I think we're going to see another busy week.
Okay, so we can expect things are going to continue to evolve quickly, and we'll be back next week to talk about it again.
Well, if we're still standing and have time to do so, I look forward to speaking to you again next week about what's going on in the municipal world.
In the meantime, be well. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to everyone for tuning in and helping us share good information.
Great. Thank you for having me, Susan, and you be well as well.
Thank you. I want to thank Jody Johnson for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. And thank you for listening to the MW Shares podcast. I hope you'll join us for the upcoming episodes where we'll talk about the important challenges facing municipalities right now. We'll continue to share important information and discuss the municipal response to COVID-19. Find MW Shares on Apple and Google Podcasts or visit us on our website, municipalworld.com. Until next time, please stay safe, stay healthy.